Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hey, welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster. That is Evan Jenkins. We're here pretty much every week doing a podcast here on Odyssey about drafts, prospects, and the future. And this week we're going to focus in on the Lions. The Lions. A lot of talk. Their last three drafts by Brad Holmes got everybody talking. The first two, in my opinion, were the best drafts the Lions have ever had in back-to-back NFL drafts. And I don't believe that's an exaggeration. A lot of it's a credit to Holmes. A lot of it is an indictment on their past. Certainly the best since the merger, which the merger was in 1970. Before a lot of people listening to this, you weren't even alive, including my good friend Evan, who was not alive at that time. I don't even think he was a twinkle in his father's eye.
I wasn't. Parents were only dating at that time, Pat.
So, you know, the whole thing. If you look at Amara St. Brown, obviously a fourth-round pick, a gem. You look at Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell. It's hard to say they missed when they took him in the first round. You could debate whether they took the right guy, but I don't think anybody's complaining. And other players have just, you know, like Kirby Joseph picked off Aaron Rodgers three times last year. You just go down the list, even undrafted free agents have contributed. Now, the question here, though, with it is, what's the development going to be like first year to second year to third year, and how much will this current rookie class contribute right away? And we also have the 10,000-pound albatross around the entire town, and that is Jameson Williams, because he is overriding a lot of this with the attention. Certainly the first preseason game didn't go well. Preseason game two is coming up here. And bottom line, to trade up, miss a pick, you have a shot at Christian Watson, perhaps, who could be a great player for the Packers, and to look around at the other receivers that he was compared to at the time, the Garrett Wilsons, the Olaves, the Drake Londons, who have all started their career smoothly. So where are the Lions at? How is this going to project? And I think when we'll start with the rookie class here.
Well, one more thing on J-Mo, Pat, just in case you didn't see it. He did go down with an apparent hamstring injury at practice today. He won't probably play in the second preseason game if it is true that it's a hamstring injury.
I like the air quotes, too. It's not on our podcast, but you definitely had the hamstring in there, like you were somewhat suspicious with a quote-unquote hamstring.
Well, because we just don't know yet. So all the practice reports is that he went down and grabbed his hamstring. So that's why I'm saying it's an apparent hamstring injury. It just sucks because you want him to go out there and play. And unfortunately, it looks like he won't be able to.
Well, here's the thing. I think this rookie class is going to be decided to a degree on what other rookies do, like it always is. or in the case of the Lions, their first pick, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think it's going to be compared to what DeAndre Swift does with the Eagles. If DeAndre Swift has a great year for the Eagles, which is entirely possible because he couldn't be put in any better circumstances to succeed, and he is a talented player, and Gibbs does not do well, that will be something that will definitely come back and resonate. I think the good news for Lions fans is Gibbs, in his initial appearance in the preseason, the things he's done in training camp have been impressive by all accounts, and I think there's a chance he'll be a productive player as a rookie. The question is, if Swift goes off and the Eagles end up having a really good team, which is, you know, they're the favorites to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC, how is that going to resonate? Second thing, Sam Laporta, the tight end. They gave up some draft capital to move up for him. And I liked it at the time. And I still like Sam Laporta in a certain way. But the one thing about Sam Laporta is he provides nothing blocking, zero. So he has to make those first down catches. He has to do a little bit more than catch the ball on target and in stride like he did at Iowa so well. And there has to be a time or two when he gets deep, especially because the Lions lack an outside receiver joining Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know Khalif Raymond and Reynolds and some of these other guys have done reasonably well, but it's very different than if you've got a burner on the other side. So that's the concern, and he's going to have to contribute significantly. Now, the thing about tight end, it's not the easiest position to just drop yourself in and play in the NFL at a high level. There's a lot of nuance to it, very different than what he faced in college competition.
Well, and I think to your point about the two straight drafts, Pat, is James Mitchell coming in. I think he's going to play a big role for them. He's a guy that was injured with an ACL coming out of college, and it seems like at the end of last year they started getting him in a little bit, and it seems like this year he could be tight end one or two coming out the rip.
Absolutely, and he might end up being a better player this year than Sam Laporta. And it doesn't mean Sam Laporta is going to be a bust. I mean, he's got a lot of pressure on him because they passed on Musgrave, they passed on Meyer, they passed on a number of tight ends. But it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. But I don't know if the expectations of this year are going to match. And what is a reasonable amount of production for a Sam Laporta?
Well, you know, like
what's the bar for this year?
400 yards and three touchdowns?
I would think that that would be a good year.
Right.
400 yards would mean quite a few catches, probably close to 40, maybe 35, 30. I think that's a reasonable expectation. But these rookies have been hyped up so much, it's the same with Gibbs, that it's like, well, you know, 1,000 yards, you know, or whatever. And that'll especially happen with Gibbs if Swift goes off. What's a reasonable expectation for Gibbs this year, production-wise?
Geez, wouldn't you hope he catches 60 passes and has 800 yards on the ground?
Well, I think that that is reasonable. I think, you know, but let me ask you this. If he catches 60 passes and has 800 yards on the ground, he's going to be basically close to a 2,000-yard producer. And how many touchdowns does he score? I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be based on how many big plays he makes. I don't think it's the totality. It's about the totality of their rushing attack with him and Montgomery, but it's about how many big plays he breaks, because he's got to have a few real chunk plays. We're talking 30 or more yards in that mix. And I think if he has a certain amount of yards, it's not going to matter if he doesn't have those big chunk plays.
Sure.
If he has those big chunk plays and maybe not as much yards, that would be the desired result rather than looking at what his total amount of yards would be.
And I even think with touchdowns, Pat, like we saw it with the Lions last year with DeAndre Swift, that they just gave the ball to Jamal Williams on the goal line. And
right.
They'll probably do that same thing with David Montgomery.
Yeah, and Montgomery is a big factor. You know, he has to be at least as good or better than Williams last year.
Yeah.
But he's not a rookie. So the other situation is defensively. Lions took Branch. They should have taken Branch at 45. I love the Jack Campbell draft pick. You know that. I think Jack Campbell is going to be big time. We talked about it before the draft. Those were two guys that we were in agreement on. And I don't think it would have been a stretch if they took Branch at 18, which, you know, was kind of, you know, he was being projected a little lower than that, and so was Campbell. I love those picks, and I think those two players will play and play well and be productive. I don't know. You can't judge interceptions, things like that, but I think they'll get a lot of playing time, and I think they'll play a significant factor in an improved defense. But the situation with Emmanuel Moseley, that's the defensive version of J-Mo, and people don't even talk about it.
It's worrisome that he's not on the field yet, and Dan Campbell was quoted saying it's going to be some time before we see him out on the field. So it's who's cornerback number two? You got to put Jerry Jacobs out there, who's yet another young guy.
Undrafted free agent, the first year of Brad Holmes being the general manager. Terrible when he first got on the field. He's made a lot of progression, and it looks like he may be able to play that role. But have you looked at what's there behind him?
Not much.
Oh, you know, it's really, really thin. And
it is, and that's where they struggled last year was the secondary, Pat.
Now, is it possible they have to move Branch or Gardner Johnson to outside corner at some point? Because they've got all kinds of safeties. They got Joseph. They've got Tracy Walker, who's going to get bumped out if Branch plays like this at slot corner, because they're not going to have not have Gardner Johnson on the field. He might be the rest of the player. And they're pretty much loaded at safety, but they don't have depth at corner. Do they move one of those guys in that corner? And can Brian Branch, for example, play outside corner?
Well, just from what we've heard, it sounds like Branch would be the guy that would step in there. And you and I both know being a rookie corner in the NFL is very, very tough. But it does seem like this young man is what, you know, like the big football guys would call just a football player. Like he might not have blazing speed or anything like that. He's just a football player.
So that role is going to be interesting. And they always have injuries in the secondary. Seems like every year the Lions are pulling somebody out of the Coney Island or something to play safety or corner or something. And looking at their backup corners, it kind of looks like that. I mean, it's kind of shocking. So maybe Branch has to play that role out of necessity if there is an injury there. You know, Cam Sutton should play well for him. I think Jacobs will do okay. But their secondary is definitely an issue. So those two positions, wide receiver and secondary, are the two positions where they're vulnerable. I don't think backer's a problem at all. I mean, they got good in backers. They got Anzalone. Barnes is a good player. Malcolm Rodriguez is a good player. And Campbell's a good player. And even their backup guys, the Pittmans and so on, they're not bad when you put them out there. When you're talking about the secondary, not so much. And at receiver, and I know they got a couple good undrafted free agents, Chase Cota and Dylan Drummond, but and their upgrades maybe from Tom Kennedy, certainly athletically in the case of Chase Cota.
Size, but, too.
Yeah, he's you know, his father was an NFL player. You know, his cousin's Brady Breeze, who's on their team, they'll be practice squad roommates, you know, that this year probably. But that's, you know, the bottom line about it is there are some concerns with the team. And again, is it okay to point that out? You know, is there so much excitement? Because I think it's an issue. Now, of the players they've drafted, I don't know what they're going to do with James Houston. That's the other factor. What do you do with a player like that? Even in the – everybody was talking about Julian Okwara's sacks in the first preseason game, but Houston was ducking under a guy. He put a hurry on there. Doesn't look like anybody can block this dude one-on-one. How do they use him? Because it's pretty obvious they don't feel comfortable with him in other situations. Is it just strictly a pass rush guy? And who – you know, obviously they feel comfortable with Harris. Yeah, what do they do with the Okwaras? Because the one Okwara's got a big contract.
Yeah.
So Well, he took a cut and all that, but still, you know, what do? They've got too many people on the edge. So it's odd how that's all going to work out and what they're going to deploy. And a lot of it is because they've done a good job of drafting and signing free agents. I think inside they're going to be good. I really like Broderick Martin. And Broderick Martin looks like the man to me. I didn't see it when I was watching the stuff from Western Kentucky. I didn't know much about him, frankly, when they drafted him. He wasn't productive, but it looks like he's going to be a good player. And I also think that they're fine with their veterans there. McNeil, more interested in being a three technique tackle, is going to help him. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with their defensive line, whether they are able to advance kind of a basic scheme inside that they had last year because of the development. But look for Ayla McNeil to have a big year, Evan, because he's extraordinarily athletic. He has lost some weight. He does want to do the three technique thing, which means less gap control and just holding your spot and more of an ability to push inside. And I think they're going to deploy him. That's another young player that I'm anticipating is going to have a big year this year for the Lions.
Yeah, and then there's also Levi Anzurike. Is that how you say his name? He's planning on having a comeback and being able to play. I know Will Birchfield wrote a story about him on 97.1theticket.com about how he's finally healthy and he's ready to do damage and, quote unquote, feels like he can play football now. So that's another guy that came out of a draft who's a second round guy that you hope to get something out of.
Well, he and Paschal, those were two picks that they were considered kind of busts because they got injured. But Paschal did some things at the end of last year. And you're right about Uzurike. He did not play well his first year, and then he got hurt. But I think he's shown considerable progress. Certainly, he was very good in the snippets that I've seen him in those in the preseason, for sure. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of depth there. So, and that's been because of players. And it all comes back to J-Mo, because who has Brad Holmes missed on?
You could argue Levi, and that's about it, really.
Levi, Uzurike, maybe Paschal. The second-round picks have been classic Lions second-round picks.
Other than that, I mean, pretty much everybody's
– Lucas late in the draft. He's a little older, but he's still hanging around.
Sure. He played for him as a rookie.
Right. So I'm trying to think who he totally missed on.
I don't really see any. I mean, obviously the question mark is going to be on Hendon Hooker coming off that ACL injury and being a quarterback. But I think that was a luxury pick where you could take that chance on trying to find a QB of the future later in the draft like that from a kid that has a lot of talent. Now, Hooker is an older player and 25 or 26 years old. So you don't know how his body is going to react to something like that, but he's out there. He's throwing. I remember even when they drafted him, they said on ESPN that the kid would be ready for training camp if need be. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold him off. We already have a quarterback. And then you have Teddy Bridgewater. But that's just a guy that they were able to draft and put in their back pocket until next year. And that's a nice luxury to have. Where in past years, Pat, I don't think they could afford to waste a pick like that. You know what I mean? Where you need them to perform. I do have one question, though, in regards to the running back room, because you mentioned Gibbs and we talked about Montgomery. Do you think the running back room is clearly better this year than it was last? And the reason I asked that is because last year they broke an all-time rushing record with touchdowns for Jamal Williams. You could say what you want about DeAndre Swift. He was still a big part of this team, and he was responsible for some of those explosive plays. I mean, we remember the play where he fell on his butt, essentially got back up and ran it in for a touchdown. So that a lot of people are saying that it's clearly a better running back room, and I don't necessarily agree with that.
Neither do I, actually. There's a narrative about DeAndre Swift. I understand why there was. There's that word again, Evan. I use that word a lot these days, narrative.
Narrative.
He was somebody who just couldn't depend on. He was untrustworthy. He would get hurt at times. And there was an element of truth to that without question. But what was forgotten in that is just how productive he was. He averaged 6.8 yards every time he touched the ball. And he did come up with a number of explosive plays that did help them in their offense put up some of those numbers. And when he was in the game, opposing defenses always had to account for him. So I don't know if it would have been a situation where he was here and awkward and all that, but it wouldn't surprise me if DeAndre Swift really has a resurgence and beyond anything he did in Detroit and Philadelphia. And Gibbs is a rookie.
Yeah.
And I know running backs, it's different, but his big thing is receiving game. So, and I know he's explosive, but he only did it for 1 year, really, you know, and because he's at Georgia Tech before that. And always, it's kind of like with J-Mo, he only did it for 1 year. So there's a little bit of Nick Fairley only did it for 1 year, you know,
right,
where they were stars. So there's a little bit of that with it. But when they did the pick and did what they did, I had no problem with it. It was well thought out, and there's a possibility Gibbs will do that. But they're, like you're saying, there's concern. Another thing with Jamal Williams, you can say whatever you want. Montgomery's a better football player, actually.
Yes.
Long term, he'll have a better career. But he had a great year last year.
So in the rah-rah that he brought to the team.
Touchdowns?
Yeah.
To match him? I mean, think about that. Go over 1,000 and score 17 touchdowns? Montgomery's never done that before.
No, and it's new scenery. And listen, this is as optimistic as I have been about the Detroit Lions. And I mean, that's saying a lot because, like we've talked about on our, you know, you can't make this up podcast, Pat, that right. We've seen a lot of crap go down with this team. But it just seems like the leadership that they have right now is the most important thing. And you're right. David Montgomery has only broken 1,000 yards rushing once in his career, and that was in 2020 with 1,070. And just for somebody knows, I learned this when I was probably like 16 or 17. To average 1,000 yards in a season, you only need 60 yards a game. And that was at a 16-game season. So it's right. Not like you have to be this 100-yard back game in and game out to do that. But do you think he'll get, like, will the Lions have 2,000 yards rushing as a team?
That's a great question. Where else does the running come from if it's not from him? It's got to
be. Wonder, are they going to put St. Brown in the backfield like they flirted
with
last
year? They'll do that. No, he'll get some yards. The quarterback, you always got to account that into it. And he's not going to rack up the yards like Fields or Hurts or Allen or some of these other guys that can really run.
And if Jameson's healthy, you got to expect him on some end of rounds like they did last year. So that they could get there.
Yeah. I like their offense too, the way it's very snappy. You know, it's on, you know, it moves in rhythm and they play to the rhythm and those type of plays that you're describing. And gosh, how many times does St. Brown get a key first down on a jet sweep? And you and I have watching a lot of Michigan State football down through the years. Sweep's gotten a bad name.
Let's not bring up bad stuff, Pat.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, they got the compulsory five jet sweeps that they have to run for 2 yards. It wasn't like that. They bring up Amon-Ra St. Brown in motion, 50 plays running right by Goff, and then one play right on time. Quick, no hesitation, boom, the ball's there. He's 3 yards, first down.
You know what's crazy, Pat, is he could arguably end up being the Lions' best non-first round draft pick of all time. That kid works his ass off, and he is only out there to produce. I mean, did anybody expect this out of USC? I would say no. The production instantly. But the kid, I mean, he could be the steal of that draft for years to come.
Well, he's an example of it's not so much the size or speed of the dog in the fight, but the, you know, size of the heart and dog, man. You know, the dog in the dog.
Well, that's what we talk about with Branch, right?
Yeah. I mean, he makes plays. The ball's thrown to him, he catches it. You know, he finds a way to catch it. If he's got somebody, he's got a hit, he hits. He's the one who gets the better part of the hit.
Right.
He's obviously his workroom, weight room ethic and all that is superior. But he's not overly fast. He's not overly big. He's obviously strong in shape. But his instincts for football – and his ability to get that adrenaline shot when it's his time is exceptional. I mean, that's what it's about, man. It's having that adrenaline shot when your play is called, and then be able to control it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a controlled rage almost. And he's got that ability, clearly. And he's, you know, you mentioned, is he the best Lions non-first round pick of all time? That's a pretty good question, Evan.
You know, because obviously, I mean, Kelvin Johnson was Barry Sanders. You know, those are first round guys. You're not going to say that he's going to be better than that. Sue, Stafford, all those guys. Hell, Herman Moore.
You got to go way back.
Yeah.
Because the Lions have drafted terribly in the second round traditionally. I mean, third round, I think they got DeAndre Levy, and he was a pretty good player. And Quandre Diggs in the sixth round, right?
Yeah.
He was a pretty good player. And Darius Slay, don't forget about this. He was
a second round pick. Yep.
So, but he's better than Louis Delmas, Clem Edwards, like Alonzo.
Delmas was pretty good there for a couple years, though, until like he got like a pat out
game and everything. You know, it was like, the pick right after him? You know, the pick was right after him.
No,
Patrick Chung started for New England in Super Bowls,
multiple.
Of course, Jelani Tavai is now a star with the Patriots.
And they might even be having him play fullback, too. It's like they're all in on that guy. Yeah, it's wild.
So anyway, appreciated it. Thanks. Don't forget to download us at the Google Play Store, Apple iTunes Store. Very important for us. Give us likes, you know, all those things. Odyssey.com. You can always find this podcast at Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. And within the columns that I write for 97.1 The Ticket website. Also, Evan Jenkins, the king of the KC. And here on Twitter, there you go, best Twitter handle of all time. And also the 97.1 The Ticket Facebook page and the 97.1 The Ticket Twitter or X. I'm sorry, X account. Check that out as well. We appreciate it every week. And we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.